Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It's a great pleasure to have with us, and a privilege, really, given the demands on his time, especially at a moment when the country in which he is one of the nation's preeminent authorities is once again in the news, namely North Korea. But to catch up with Dr. Bruce Bechtel is always a treat, but most especially when we have to figure out what to make of the news, and in particular, what it might mean for our security. Dr. Bruce Bechtel is the professor of political science at Angelo State University, who's formerly served as an intelligence officer with the United States Marine Corps, one of their specialists at the Defense Intelligence Agency on Korea, the peninsula, the threats from the North in particular. He has written extensively on these subjects and has been really one of the go-to guys on such matters, including with his book, North Korea and Regional Security in the Kim Jong-un Era, A New International Security Dilemma. Dr. Bechtel, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Frank. This is my favorite radio show to come on.
Well, bless you. It's our favorite radio show to have you come on, so that's perfect. Listen, Bruce, there has been a new perturbation in the force with the North Koreans, we think. Talk, if you would, about what we know and what you surmise is going on with respect to the seeming assassination of a relative of Kim Jong-un in Malaysia.
Well, according to all of the reports that I've seen, you know, now that things have had a few days to calm down, it appears that based on actual witnesses, two very attractive young Asian women who I'm quite sure were North Korean agents snuck up behind him. One grabbed him. The other put a handkerchief over his mouth with a liquid on it that now we're being told was more powerful than most other drugs, and killed him very quickly. So this appears to be an old-style Cold War assassination successfully done, something they've really been planning to do, I think, since early 2012, because Kim Jong-nam, the half-brother who's the older brother of Kim Jong-un, has been very outspoken against the regime since almost the very beginning.
Yeah, and he defected, as I understand it, right?
Well, no, he didn't defect. In fact, at least for a while into the Kim Jong-un regime, they had him on an allowance, if you can believe that. But he was being protected when he was in Chinese territory, including Macau, by the Chinese government, because they were quite afraid that he would be assassinated. And so he traveled to Malaysia. I'm shocked, frankly, that he did not have his slew of bodyguards with him, as he typically does, because according to the reports, he was just traveling by himself and was in the economy line to travel back via aircraft to Macau from Malaysia.
Well, this is a story that is rich with some of the personal predilections of Kim Jong-un, about which you have written extensively, Bruce Bechtel. Should, if it is in fact proven that this is a political assassination, us revisit under President Trump's leadership decisions that were previously made to remove this heinous regime from the state sponsor of terrorism list and otherwise treat them really as the pariah that such a designation makes clear is in order?
I absolutely agree with that, Frank. I mean, this is just another example of North Korea showing, you know, terrorism, sponsoring terrorism, actually conducting terrorism acts is something that it conducts routinely as a matter of regime policy, but not just because of this. I mean, they've proliferated since, you know, the mid-2000s to Hezbollah, Hamas, the IRGC in Iran. You know, even Secretary Gates noted that in open sources in 2010 in a speech that he gave. Everybody knows that North Korea is one of the biggest state sponsors of terrorism on the planet. And, you know, God only knows what the political reasons were that the Obama administration did not put them back on that list. But one hopes that the Trump administration will put them back on the list. They should be called a state sponsor of terrorism because that's what they are.
Well, Bruce, remind us, as you just said, that it would have fallen to the Obama administration to put them back on the list because the George W. Bush administration took them off the state sponsor of terrorism list. Remind us why that was done and what flowed from that decision.
Well, that was done back in 2007 as the agreement was signed for North Korea to dismantle their nuclear weapons program. And obviously they did not do that, but that was part of the deal. We successfully were able to box North Korea into a corner with our Patriot Act initiation against financial initiatives that they had all over Asia. And that really put them in an economic hurt locker and brought them back to the bargaining table. But unfortunately, the Bush administration made what I felt was a very bad deal, because part of that deal with North Korea agreeing to dismantle its nuclear weapons, which of course they never did, was that we would take them off the list, the State Department list of nations sponsoring terrorism. And, you know, at the time I wrote in my first book, Red Rogue, that, you know, we should, no matter what deal we were making with the North Koreans, we should not take them off a list of nations sponsoring terrorism unless they actually stop sponsoring terrorism.
That's right. And as in so many other instances, and you've chronicled many of them over the years, Bruce Bechtel, we've been basically given a flim-flam in these international agreements. There's been no break, as best I can tell, on their nuclear weapons programs or on their proliferation of all kinds of weaponry. One of the particular concerns at the moment, as you know so well, is that they are feverishly building and improving their ballistic missile capabilities, something that is one of their cash crops also. But it's bad enough what they're doing in their own right in that regard. Tell us a little bit, as you see it, as a former Marine intelligence officer, how that threat is beginning to emerge as a real problem for our friends and our forces in Asia and perhaps for those of us further away as well.
Good question, Frank. I hope everybody's taking this missile test that they did Saturday very seriously, because what we saw was essentially a land variant of a missile that they tested very successfully a few months ago. It's a solid-fueled variant of a submarine-launched ballistic missile that goes in a submarine that now has blue water range, and the missile now has the range, I'm guessing, the underwater missile appears to have the range of about 1,700 kilometers, which means they could move that submarine to within range of Hawaii or Guam, where we have 165,000 Americans, and just fire it with a nuclear warhead. And the missile itself looks very much like and has almost the exact capabilities as the Chinese JL-1. Now, there's no smoking gun yet that says they actually got it from the Chinese. They could have got it from a third party like Pakistan or Iran. They could have stolen the plans or something else, but it does appear very similar to that missile. And so what they've shown us is they're well on their way to developing what we used to call the triad during the Cold War. They now have a missile that can go after us on land, the KN-08 and the KN-14 and the Taepodong, of course. And it appears they're well on their way to having a missile with a nuclear capability that can go after Hawaii or Guam with a submarine-launched ballistic missile system. So this land-based system that we saw on Saturday is a variant of that that could attack Japan, all U.S. military bases on Japan, Tokyo, et cetera, and they can move it around much more quickly because it's solid-fueled, not liquid-fueled. It gets fueled in about one-tenth the time. So what we're seeing is just another new system that the North Koreans have that they can use to threaten us.
Yeah. Earlier this week, a friend of yours and mine, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, has written a new piece in the Washington Times, sort of summarizing many of these threats. And I hope that particularly the Trump administration is going to be taking these very seriously. The president has indicated that an ICBM is not going to happen if the North Koreans decide to pursue that. But some of the capabilities that you've just talked about would be bad enough were they ever to be used against us. Bruce, we have to leave it at that for the moment. A lot more to talk about. I hope we'll have a chance to do so with you in the near future. In the meantime, thank you for the work you're doing. Come back to us soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.